I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Stuff like this happens, bro.
A lot has happened with the Houston Texans the last 365 days. We've seen players leave. Jadeveon Clowney, DeAndre Hopkins. We've seen titles change. Bill O'Brien officially the general manager. We've seen players brought in. Brandon Cooks, Eric Murray. We've seen draft picks made. We've seen the offensive line revamped. Laremy Tunsil was traded for. A lot's happened. But the biggest break and the most significant move in this division happened a year ago today. The Houston Texans were facing the Dallas Cowboys in an ugly, and I mean ugly, 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 ass preseason game. Lamar Miller tore his ACL, but the second half of that game turned into a eulogy for Andrew Luck, because on this day a year ago, Andrew Luck went to the podium and he explained why in his late 20s, arguably the best player in the AFC South was walking away from the game of football.
It's very difficult. I love this team. I love my teammates, the folks in our building, the fans, the game of football. And as part of this team, because of how I feel, I know that I am unable to pour my heart and soul into this position. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury pain rehab, and it's been unceasing and unrelenting, both in season, both in and off season.
Andrew Luck retiring. At this point, over a year ago, we were talking about Deshaun Watson, Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck had just ended Deshaun Watson's season. He ended the season. Last time we saw him at NRG, 21-7, Colts won. We were talking about Watson versus Luck. Luck steps down. What would have happened? Different. But with everything that's happened, all the shocking moments the last year, a year ago today was the most significant thing that's happened in this division.
And the most shocking thing that has happened in this division, I was listening to you with Vandermeer and John Harris, and I thought your list of most shocking things was pretty darn accurate. For the Indianapolis Colts and Andrew Luck, the most shocking thing about all of that was
why
that—
Why are we acting sad with this, Vicky? You know how many Texans fans were happy his ass walked away?
Vandy said it was right there behind his birth of his children. But I don't know if it'd go that far. But no, the most shocking thing to me was that he'd come back. You know, he'd come back all the way, and you were thinking, okay, the guy's been beat up. It's one of those things. It's a life lesson. I think it's, and I've used this term with Deshaun Watson, I think it's a cautionary tale as well. Your quarterback gets beat up. I don't care how good he is. I don't care who he is. It's going to catch up to him sooner rather than later. So, all those things flash into mind, but the shocking thing was that he was 100% better, and then the enlightening thing was the Texans had better learn from this, because if, you know, I don't care how mobile he is, if Deshaun Watson gets beat up like that, that could be him.
Which is why I think the Texans have attacked the offensive line before this situation. Jim Irsay, after this happened, would not rule out a comeback. That was what's really weird. Andrew Luck's up there crying, and Jim Irsay is basically saying, not so fast. He could be back.
I don't rule it out because, you know, as quickly as this thing sort of descended on us, and as mysterious as it was coming upon us, you know, it could leave the same way. And that's just a fact.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Yeah, he's not coming back. I don't know why he did that. He's Jim Irsay. Maybe that's why he does strange things like that. But you touched on something that I thought was really important, too. Do you think it accelerated? It's not as if the Texans didn't know they needed to protect Deshaun Watson. We all knew that. But do you think it accelerated their thought process a little bit, like, oh, my gosh. You know, and I kept going back to this point. You had to get a left tackle. You know, the price was steep. We've argued about that. But you had to do it. And I wonder if that accelerated the Texans' thoughts.
I don't know. I know Deshaun Watson was shocked by the whole thing because Deshaun went to the podium after the Cowboys game. And this is what Deshaun had to say about the departure of Andrew Luck.
It was mind-blowing. It was something that, of course, caught everyone off guard. But, that's you know, he can control his own future. And he's a great player. He's a great quarterback, one of the top five quarterback in the league. And, you know, he's doing it for the right reasons for himself.
I mean,
I don't know if it accelerated it, but I mean, it was kind of alarming that Andrew Luck did this after they finally got it together because they were treading water for a while. They were probably being too dependent on him. So I don't know if it accelerated it, but I think it was kind of a lesson because Andrew Luck, the first couple years Bill O'Brien was in this division, was just getting beat up. Yeah. I mean, he even said the 2016 season when he was out for half a year and then he missed an entire season. That was why he ended up retiring. So at this point last year, your offensive line, you thought maybe Roderick Johnson or Julian Davenport would be your starting tackle. They made this move, or Andrew Luck retires, and then they all of a sudden, after drafting a couple offensive line, do make the trade for Tunsil. So who knows? But it definitely impacted the AFC South as we know it, which brings us to right now, Jayla.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where are the Texans right now, 17 days away from their matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs? I was at practice yesterday. I'll have some observations for you at 10:40. I'm going to cut somebody at 10:40. Someone is going to get cut already just based on my observations. Actually, I'm going to make two cuts. Not one cut. I'm going to make two cuts.
Really?
At 10:40. But let's hear from Whitney Merciless, who spoke yesterday after practice. Whitney Merciless talking about where exactly the Texans are as we sit right now.
As far as where we stand at, not exactly where we need to be, I'll tell you that. To break our limits right now and keep pushing forward as far as stamina-wise as well, too, and our fundamental and techniques as well, so it's on a consistent basis. And just work on our communication as well, too, to be able to always be on the same page, to minimize a lot of mistakes that happen in practice. So we're much further than we were along about 3 weeks ago, but we're not quite there yet. So I would say we've still got a little bit of ways to go.
Okay.
You know, I think one thing I think is going to happen here once the season starts, man, what, 17 days?
17.
Good gracious.
3 weeks and change.
Real quick aside, yesterday was the first time I really felt like normal sports day, like it was a normal sports day. And, you know, I checked in on the Indy 500 at the end just to see who won. I watched a little golf, watched the Astros.
Who won?
Sato, the Japanese guy.
Okay.
I watched the Astros. I watched some NBA playoffs. And I remember after Luka hit that shot, which we will get to that. Good gracious, that guy.
He's not very athletic, though.
We'll get to that, too.
And I'm if like, only he were athletic.
It's the first time, Landry, that I'm flipping. You know, I'm flipping from game to game to game to game, like four or five different things of sports. It was really cool. It was the first semblance of, like, sports normalcy in a long time. Here's what's going to happen in 17 days. We're all going to have a revelation. Because you hear Whitney Merciless talking there.
A revelation?
We're all going to have a revelation.
It's a hell of a promise.
It is. And you watch. It'll be correct. You hear Whitney, you know, because players are getting habits too. So he's always been in the habit of you got to have OTAs. You got to, you know, come during volunteer workouts. You got to have mini camp. We're going to find out in 17 days.
How much it matters?
How little it matters.
Really?
Yeah, how little it matters.
Really?
These guys, there's not going to be sloppy play, more than normal. You know, more than a normal first game where there might be a couple of extra penalties or something. It's going to look sharp. It's okay. Going to look crisp.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be, I think they're just in.
You're saying it's going to be crisp.
It's going to be crisp. It's going to be sharp.
Our predictions weren't good this weekend.
I did all right.
I did bad.
I said Altuve would have had six hits. He had five.
There you go.
I said J.J. Watt would have participate in practice. Well, he kind of did.
Debatable.
He kind of did.
I was there. It's debatable.
He was out there and
all
on the
world
field.
Defensive lineman J.J. Watt.
What was my other one?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, but you said Greinke would win.
Oh, seven scoreless.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't seven scoreless.
Yeah, it didn't go down.
But he did sit down on the field.
Yeah. I was. Yeah, he did do his
and
thing.
And he threw a 53.5-mile-an-hour pitch.
Crisscross applesauce.
So I think we're going to all realize, dude, we don't need this all this nonsense. You know, they're just in a habit of doing it, and they think mentally, they think, oh, I'm not prepared because they didn't do it. They're going to go out there and just ball.
That is a prediction from John Lopez. Speaking of those Texans, Bill O'Brien getting ready for practice right now. The pads are on. There's going to be a scrimmage on Thursday. Here's the best of what Bill O'Brien had to say minutes before the Texans hit the practice field, starting with Kenny Stills, who I'm gonna give you a spoiler alert, looked pretty damn good yesterday. What did the coach think?
Yeah, he's been really good. I mean, he had a good day yesterday. Ran a beautiful in cut yesterday. He's been good. He's a good pro, Aaron. You know, he's just a really good pro, smart guy, you know, really passionate about things off the field and, you know, passionate about football. Deshaun has a lot of confidence in him. I think they worked out quite a bit together this offseason, and there's a good chemistry there. And we're glad Kenny's on our team.
Randy.
Say Randy or Brandon?
Randy.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, I thought he said Bueller.
Sorry.
Line Bueller.
How do you approach this week from a physical approach in during the course of camp, and obviously with whatever jobs are available? How big is this week as you look at the week ahead leading up to the scrimmage on Thursday?
Yeah, great question. We're trying to set up the next 2 weeks like two game weeks, Randy. So, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, scrimmage Thursday. You know what I mean? So, like, that's how we're trying to do this. It's not exactly like a game week because it's, you know, obviously there's some differences. This year is going to be about, I believe, for our team, I'm not speaking for any other team, just speak for our team. Can we do a great job of keeping the virus out of this building? And can we get better every single day? Can we improve every day? It's a league of improvement. Can players and coaches get better every day? And can we keep the stinking virus out of our building?
Yesterday, I thought a pretty cool moment yesterday. I thought Brandon Cooks kind of sought out Isaiah Coulter during practice after a route and kind of went over, coached him for a few minutes, giving him little pointers and things like that. And I'm just wondering, as you were assessing bringing Brandon aboard and motivated to make that trade, how much of that part of him?
Yeah, no, it was a big part of it. You know, I was familiar with Brandon when he came out in the draft 2014. Jack Easterby was in New England with him. I mean, that's, you know, obviously number one is the talent. You know, he's a really good receiver. He's got speed. He's got really good hands. He's a strong player. And then the other part of him, though, is that he's a really good pro. You know, he just does a good job of talking to the offense and especially within that position of, you know, technique and work ethic and how important it is to do what's right on every route. You may not get the ball every single route, but you know, you got a great quarterback who's reading the defense and you gotta be there. He's got to trust that you're going to be where you're supposed to be. And I believe in those type of players. And you know, I believe that will lead to wins. I believe in that.
Look at Nick Martin and his progression as a player.
Yeah. Nick works really hard. He's got really good leadership ability. He's very smart. He comes from a football family. You know, it's just really important to him. I mean, even during the off season, he was home. He went back to Indianapolis for a while and worked out with his brother and, you know, came back in really good shape and, you know, just loves – he just – every day, it's great to see Nick. You know, Nick has a great attitude every day, works hard, takes his reps. He's got a very workman-like attitude, and he's got really good leadership qualities. Great guy to have on the team.
Man, Bill O'Brien loves him some Nick Martin. That is something that is for sure. Speaking of Nick Martin, the mystery was solved by Seth Payne about the garage weight room. We'll hear that at 10:40 when I get
my
practice.
He loves him some Ferris Bueller.
Observations. He does. That's like his third Ferris Bueller reference. Let's look at somebody who's on the market now. We've been talking about the Texans potentially needing a safety. One of the best safeties of all time is on the market. Earl Thomas has been released by the Baltimore Ravens. Should the Texans go after Earl Thomas? Yes or no? We'll discuss, lay out all the evidence next.
Stuff like this happens, bro.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
So my agent just hit me and said that I'm going to be on TMZ tomorrow from an altercation that happened with me and Nina. I just wanted to get ahead of it. I mean, it's really not anybody's business. It's pissing me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. And stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best lives we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned. You know, we're back talking. You know, I'm seeing my kids. So just keep us in your prayers.
That was this offseason. Stuff like this happens if we're to assume that everybody gets caught naked in bed with their brother and two girls, gets a gun pulled on them by their wife, and then when the cops show up, she's chasing him with a knife. That's the stuff that happened to Earl Thomas. And it came full circle this weekend. Earl Thomas, this was the news that dropped on Saturday, courtesy of Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. Earl Thomas, after the tumultuous offseason that was sent home by the Baltimore Ravens. Here's the original report from Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network.
Ravens sent home their star safety Earl Thomas yesterday, told him to go home from the facility after a practice altercation with his teammate Chuck Clark. Now, the Ravens are back on the practice field right now. Earl Thomas is not out there. I am told that the Ravens told him to stay home today.
And they ended up releasing him yesterday, despite the fact he's guaranteed $10 million. Now, they're labeling it contract detrimental to the team.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get his contract back. But the speculation immediately began. Ian Rappaport said that the Texans and 49ers keep an eye on them when it comes to bringing in Earl Thomas. John McClain said, not going to happen. Texans have zero interest. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ask you, you're not in the Texans front office, but we often pretend to be on this on these very airwaves. We already know the concerns we have about the Texans' safety position. We don't know what an Eric Murray is. Would you bring in Earl Thomas if you were the Houston Texans?
No. Short answer. And it's not just because of all the issues that he's had, but who knows how much he can really offer anymore. He can still play a little bit, but Derrick Henry turned him into a lead blocker. I mean, you know, Derrick Henry pretty much turned him around and pushed him on down the field. Of course, he can do that to a lot of guys. First things first, I think this is a sad story. I really do. Earl Thomas, just an amazingly gifted player from the time he was at UT, from the time before he was at UT, but that's where he really took off. Just Legion of Boom, just an incredible, incredible player. But it's sad to me because you go back and start in your mind, you start playing some of the things that he's done. He just looks like a guy that has some deep emotional issues, deep, deep emotional issues. And whenever someone has, you know, he shooting the finger at Pete Carroll. Remember that going off the field?
We'll hear about that in a sec from John Clayton.
A couple of other issues that he's had on and off the field. Obviously, the thing you just heard that Figgy played with his brother.
Stuff like this happens,
yeah,
bro.
That thing.
Not really.
And now this. And the Ravens just – and the if the Ravens don't like you
– they're paying to get rid of you.
Yes. If the Ravens –
you're talking about the best team in the league last year in the regular season.
And the best at
– class act.
Class act, but the best at having guys assimilate into their organization that might have a little baggage. If the Ravens,
the players voted. This wasn't even the coaches. The players voted for this,
right?
And went to John Harbaugh and they sent him home.
We don't want him. He's not worth the trouble.
The players said that.
Yeah.
About Earl Thomas. Here was John Clayton, because I love Earl Thomas.
It's just sad.
I'll let you know whether I think the Texans shouldn't, just a sec. But let's get a little more information before I make my decision. John Clayton, who lives in Seattle, he's stationed in Seattle. He's very familiar with Earl Thomas. Here's John Clayton just talking about the strange pattern of behavior Earl Thomas has had, beginning when it was time to get his second contract with the Seattle Seahawks.
Here's how intense he was. You know, when he was getting his second contract with the Seahawks, he wanted to be the highest paid defensive player. And you know that's not going to happen for a safety. They were offering him $10 million to make him the highest paid safety. Well, he got so furious at that, he just fired out all these different type of texts to the general manager that weren't very complimentary, and then ultimately took the $10 million a year deal. When he was coming down to get his next contract, he comes back, he holds out, you know, he puts himself on the field at the beginning of the season, and then he breaks his leg right in front of me when I was on the sidelines. You know, he gave the number one salute to Pete Carroll and to John Snyder, which ended his career here.
So he moves on to Seattle. He's texting the GM, basically just going on a text tirade, and then he gets hurt and he flips off Pete Carroll and John Snyder. Now, what happened in Baltimore? Here's John Clayton yesterday on the CBS network talking about, you just heard what happened in Seattle. Now, what about in Baltimore?
He goes to Baltimore, and he's more intense To a negative degree, he got into a fight last year with one of the defensive linemen. He has not really been as attentive in picking up some of the defensive things. There's rumblings out there that, particularly you saw in the play that caused the fight with Chuck Clark, that it was a missed assignment. And the number of missed assignments have grown to a point where the players didn't like him. And so they voted on it and decided, okay, we're going to cut you.
And he's gone. And Deshaun Watson weighed in moments after Earl was released, said, I'm surprised the Ravens released my guy Earl Thomas, hearing all the noise, but Earl's always been someone I can rely on when I had questions, and I have nothing but respect for him. Can't wait to see where he lands. That's the face of your franchise reaching out to Earl Thomas after he got released. To answer the question straight up, should the Texans bring in Earl Thomas? You know how I feel about Earl Thomas. The answer is hell no.
Yeah.
Honestly, even going back to his days at UT, he always had some social issues that he had to overcome, and I think they're just coming full circle. I think the stuff that he's dealing with in his personal life, which we just heard, is a crazy situation. I think he's becoming grumpy in the locker room. I think if the Baltimore Ravens are willing to pay to get rid of you, that's an issue in itself. I think if you can't be happy on a Ravens team that had the best record in the league last year and added some pieces, then that says a lot about you. And I just don't think the Texans, with Anthony Weaver as a first-year defensive coordinator, with the season being 17 days away, they're going to face the Ravens actually in 27 days. I just don't think it's worth bringing in Earl Thomas, which is crazy to say because I think he's one of the best safeties to ever do it. But I don't think his mind's in the right place. I don't think he's as good of a player. I don't think it's worth it to bring in Earl Thomas. Hell no would be my answer.
Yeah, I think he's the kind of guy that if he has, you know, people close in his circle, they need to tell him either just step back or retire and worry more about yourself right now. These aren't one-offs, you know. If a guy had, you know, some, you know, spur of the moment, you know, in the moment kind of thing where he popped and had a, you know, made a big mistake, that's one thing. But he just repeatedly does it, and it goes back, as you said, all the way to his days at UT, where he was kind of distant then.
He was quiet. Yeah, he was awkwardly quiet, yeah. and he kind of slowly began to talk a little bit by his
And now he's
year.
The opposite of distant.
Yeah, and now he's just lashing out. But he's always dealt with social, like social
anxiety,
type of anxiety,
emotional
type of
issues,
thing.
Whatever. We're not doctors, but you know we just talk about some of the things that we've seen over the years, and it just has some bad signs there. That said, I could see the Cowboys doing it. I could absolutely see the Cowboys
they're clearing
doing
up cap space over the weekend for whatever reason.
They got $10 million in cap space.
Moved around Tyron Smith's deal. The Cowboys, though, are a team that's they're going all in this year. Like their cap situation is going to be rough next year, and they have an extremely desperate need at safety.
Buyer beware.
And Earl Thomas has wanted to be there for a while.
Yeah, buyer beware, though.
Oh yeah, you got to be aware. I mean, it's not like he's going to get the 10 mil or something. It could be a few million, but the Cowboys is where it makes sense. But from the Texans' perspective, absolutely not. I think it would be a terrible decision to bring in Earl Thomas, which is crazy.
I totally agree, and I know some people might be thinking, well, you know, the Cowboys are in win-now mode, and you say the Texans are in win-now mode. What's the difference? The difference is the Cowboys just don't care, and they have an owner who doesn't care, and he says figure it out, and then he moves on. You talk about, you know, they released defensive tackle Gerald McCoy, $3 million in cap space. Left tackle Tyron Smith, $7.1 million in cap space.
They restructured that.
So Earl Thomas is clearly, there's a space for him there if they want him.
But not here.
Not here.
We both agree with that. Yeah. That's crazy. I never thought in my life I would say
no to Earl Thomas.
To have an Earl Thomas on my football team. But life comes at you very, very fast.
Stuff like this happens, bro.
Yeah, it does not. A year ago, maybe being naked in the bed with your brother and two chicks is normal to you, and then your wife pulling the strap on you and the knife, but just doesn't seem too normal to me. I don't think stuff like that happens, Earl. A year ago, Andrew Luck retires, and now here we are. Earl Thomas, no go. From both myself and John Lopez for the Texans. Very, very crazy stuff going on 17 days away from the start of the season. Speaking of the start of the season, yesterday morning, I got in my car. I pulled up to NRG, and I got to observe practice for the first time this season. There's a lot, and I mean a lot of stuff that stuck out. I'm going to cut not one, but two guys after the break, and a mystery was also solved by our own Seth Payne. Nick Martin in the garage gym. We now got details, and John Lopez is sick to his stomach next.
We're in here talking about practice.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localizing, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, I got to go out to practice yesterday. A lot of things stuck out. It was an active day. There was a lot of 11 on 11. It wasn't just a walkthrough. It wasn't like a special teams only type of thing. There was a lot going on there. I'll give you my observations in a sec. But one of the biggest happenings yesterday, as far as interest to this show, was a mystery that was solved. Bill O'Brien has loved to talk about the garage gym of Nick Martin. Seems like every athlete has a garage gym, but Bill O'Brien has been very, 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 very vocal about how proud he was of Texan center Nick Martin for
backing up his truck
and taking some equipment on home. We wondered what the heck that meant, what made it so special. Our own Seth Payne was on the scene, and he finally solved the mystery of why B.O.B. loves Nick Martin and that garage gym so much.
Nick, which specific piece of equipment did you borrow from the weight room and why was it important to you?
I mean, I like the sled. It's good old line work, right? I mean, you put weight on it. It's like a dry block. I think it's one of the best conditioning you can do. It's hard to get in football shape unless you're playing football, but it kind of emulates a block. Those short bursts against some big weight really helps out.
That's what you borrowed from the weight room during the quarantine?
Yeah. Yeah, I just do right.
Where'd you do it?
It's right in my front backyard. I don't really got much. I did my front lawn, man. There was I don't have a backyard. I mean, my backyard's all concrete, so I couldn't really do it back there. The neighbors were giving some looks. We had a couple walking a dog stop, like, what are you doing? You play ball? I was like, yeah, I play ball. Who for? I was like, the Texans. They're like, all right, keep grinding. But it was pretty funny. I got some looks.
All right. Kudos to Nick Martin.
I knew you were going to have something to say about this as soon as I saw this.
Kudos to Nick Martin for going the extra mile, right?
Sure.
I mean, he impressed his head coach. And clearly, you know, he had his reasons for doing the sled a particular way with the weights. And if you don't know what it is, I'm pretty sure it's the one that I'm envisioning where – you can put 45-pound weights on little pegs on the side of it, and you push it, and you get your work in, your lower body work in that way. Front yard.
Well, his backyard had cement, he said.
Couldn't have done it in the backyard.
He said the backyard had cement, so it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, I know. I heard. I mean, which way is the weight room?
I mean, could he not have taken it to a park? I mean, he got it in his truck. He could have taken it to a park, right?
He has resources. Just set it up.
How big is his front yard?
Yeah, yeah. Or where does, you know, take it to where Deshaun throws, you know, that field or wherever it was. We've seen the videos. Just leave it there. Chain it up. Put it in the front yard, baby. Some old couples walking their dog.
You think when Nick Martin was at Notre Dame, he carried around a jug of water?
The gallon?
Yeah. 100%. I guarantee you 100%. Nick Martin at Notre Dame was carrying around the jug of water during offseason. Promise.
Do you think he's ever worked out in one of those little singlets, the real thin strapped, like beater type weight room shirt?
Man, I'm so tired. I worked out three times today. Yeah. Got my water jug.
Yeah.
Got to hydrate. I'm up to 3 gallons a day now.
Yeah. Do you think Nick Martin tells other people how to lift? Okay, get your elbows in a little bit. Because, you know, you really want to work the back, the tries, man. And don't throw it up. Just push it up. It'd be a lot easier on your elbows.
The first thing Nick Martin asks at a party, like normally, it's like, what do you do?
How much you bench, dude? How much you bench? That's pathetic, dude. What about incline?
Yeah.
I bet I could get you an incline. Now, there ain't no way you bench that. Let's arm wrestle.
Has he ever been to a keg party and bench pressed a woman?
I don't know.
We're kidding.
Kinda. Mystery solved, though.
Mystery solved.
Front yard with the sled. So I was at practice yesterday, and it was a good day to go out. Sometimes when you go out there, they're not doing much. They were doing everything yesterday, everything. They're in full pads today. We'll talk to Sean Pendergast. Here are my biggest observations from practice yesterday. And Figgy was 6 feet away from me, so Figgy was right there
with
me.
This was exciting, man.
He can co-sign it. Yeah, they did a lot of 11-on-11. Some stuff stuck out. It was an entertaining practice.
Shout out to Amy, first of all, for the invite. That is very, very nice. And y'all were, I'm guessing, in the end zone?
We were.
Yeah.
We were in the end zone right on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And starting off practice, there was punt return drills.
Okay.
Which
I like it so far.
They did before and they did at the end. They did full 11-on-11 punt return, and they also had 7-8 guys back there returning punts. Kiki QT missed practice for the third straight days. Actually missed 4 straight days.
Wow.
I think the thing to watch with Kiki QT is whether or not he's ready to go on Thursday for the scrimmage. They might just be waiting to see how he looks on the scrimmage, but Kiki QT did not practice. Now, during punt return drills, two things stuck out. Number one, Tim Kelly is in charge of the offense. Tim Kelly is the guy with the offense the whole time.
Not a baby.
Bill O'Brien, the most attention that he was paying yesterday were to open field tackling drills on special teams and the punt returners. Anytime punt returners were back there to field punts, Bill O'Brien was 5 feet away from them watching them. The two guys that were doing it in 11-on-11 were Chris Hansen and DeAndre Carter. Now, when they were actually doing drills before, there were like 8 guys. Kenny Stills was back there. Cobb was back there.
Mm-hmm.
There were 2 balls dropped the entire time during punt return drills.
Okay. Can I guess?
2 balls the whole time.
You're talking with these two guys or with all 8?
With everybody. All combined. There was one in, there was one in 11-on-11, and there was another one when everybody was back there. 2 balls were dropped.
Okay, a couple thoughts, first of all. Are you ready to come to the dark side when it comes to Bill O'Brien and he's in a happier place?
No.
Okay, I just thought I'd try there. And Figgy, feel free to jump in. You were right there, too. I'm guessing one of them I don't think both of them, but one of the drops had to be DeAndre Carter.
You're halfway right.
They were both DeAndre Carter?
Both were DeAndre Carter drops. DeAndre Carter was the only guy who dropped the
punt. Right in front of B.O.B.
Right in front of B.O.B., feet away from Bill O'Brien. DeAndre Carter was the only guy who dropped punts yesterday. So keep an eye on that, because I think Bill O'Brien's keeping a very close eye on that situation. Observation number two.
Mm-hmm.
There's one guy who's clearly the best tight end on this team, and there's another guy who's clearly the worst tight end on this team. The best tight end is Jordan Akins.
Yeah.
Deshaun clearly trusts Jordan Akins. Jordan Akins stuck out more than any of the other tight ends, although the blocking was not great. Will Lawing was not happy with the blocking. Tight end coach Will Lawing.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy who just looked like he didn't belong, Kahale Waring.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, the coaches yell a lot during practice. But I would say the yelling at Kahale Waring was a little bit louder
next level
than most. And if you watched him try to block and you watched him try to do 11-on-11, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad to the point where when they were doing 11-on-11 situational at the end, I think the situation was down 8 with no timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
They told him to get the hell off the field.
Man.
And this was with the 2s and 3s. They basically said, all right, that's enough. Get off the field. And Kahale Waring was off the field. I don't know if they're going to try to keep him around or not, but there's no way in all hell.
You don't trust him.
I don't think you can put him on the field in an NFL game.
Yeah, you can't trust
him. I think there's a chance he could get Deshaun killed. I think he could get himself hurt. Watching Kahale Waring, this is a guy that you thought was maybe a third-round project that maybe you could stick on the field and he could kind of find his groove. I don't think the Texans, based on what we saw yesterday. Now, the top 3 tight ends are fine. They're going to be fine. I'm talking about the Jordans and Darren Fells.
Yeah.
I don't think that you can be confident that you can put Kahale Waring on the field. And I'm saying this. I'm not so sure that he's even better than the other 2 guys that are there working out with him.
Stapleton, they like.
I don't think he's clearly even the 4th best tight end on this team.
Yeah.
I really don't. And that's who he got pulled for in the 11-on-11s was Stapleton and another guy that I'd never even heard of. This guy's not ready to play football.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even close, John.
All right, so just judging from that, and you have a lot of observations, so let's just fire through them here. But judging from that, I'm getting the sense that Jordan Akins might be on the brink of something pretty good here.
I think he's going to be the guy that Deshaun trusts a lot.
And then Kahale Waring, I
don't see any way they can put him on the field.
Well, what I was going to say, even practice squad, from everything that we've gathered, might be a little iffy. I mean, he might just be cut.
He's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any like in-depth analysis. He does not look any better this year than he did last year. As a matter of fact, he might actually look worse. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that there's frustration with the way he's getting it done. Hell, we heard Will Lawing when he met with the media types talking about Kahale compared to Jordan Thomas.
Yeah.
And it was night and day. Another observation, Akins, number one by far. Kahale Waring, I just don't see how you can step him on the field. Another observation, we go to the receivers. Will Fuller looks noticeably bigger. We've seen all his workout videos on Instagram and everything. Will Fuller looks noticeably bigger. And Brandon Cooks might be Deshaun's favorite target this year.
Well, remember, I've been saying all along, somebody's going to lead the team in receiving.
Yesterday in 11-on-11, Deshaun Watson had a couple of nice touch passes to Brandon Cooks. One of them was just right on the money on the sidelines. The other one, he went up, and I think he went over Eric Murray for it. Don't know what to make of that.
Yeah.
And caught like a 20-yard pass. But Brandon Cooks looks like him and Deshaun Watson are on the same they're on the same page. And Brandon Cooks also is fast as hell in person. The other thing about Brandon Cooks, and Sean Pendergast talked about this, he is coaching his butt off. There was a moment in practice where he basically was coaching the young kids.
Mm-hmm.
There was some contact, a non-call. Cooks was telling him how to sell it better, how the refs could see it. And it was about 5 feet from me. It was a very, very good coaching moment. It was cool to hear. And it was legit. It was sincere. Just trying to teach the youngsters how to get the job done. Brandon Cooks, I'm telling you, after yesterday, if you told me that in my fantasy draft I was going to have to pick between Will and Cooks, I think I would go with Cooks right
now.
Really? I think I would go with Cooks right now just because I think the crossing routes and the type of stuff that Deshaun wants to throw – I think that Brandon Cooks is going to be that guy after watching yesterday.
That's pretty high praise right there, and you're not alone from everything we've been hearing out there and reporting via Sean Pendergast. He's had that kind of a good camp.
Caron Higdon.
My guy?
He's
not my guy anymore, I guess. Or is he?
Playing a lot of special teams.
Well, that's not a bad sign.
And he runs pretty hard. Caron Higdon, we're looking at the running back spot. I know Buddy Howell plays special teams. Caron Higdon's getting a chance at special teams, so I think that he's going to have a legit chance to make this squad.
Pick it today, Buddy Howell or Caron Higdon.
I think it might be both.
Four running backs?
I think it might be
both.
It
wouldn't be unprecedented.
I think it might be both, but Higdon's getting a chance.
Yeah.
Texans observations from practice yesterday here on Sports Radio 610. So in 11-on-11, the situation was down 6, no timeouts left.
Okay.
Let me just take you through what happened. I'll just take you through everything that happened. Number one, Kenny Stills, who we'll hear from 12:15 on this show. Deshaun Watson still trusts him in these situations. Kenny Stills caught the first two passes in this situation, and Deshaun clearly trusted him. He then threw it to David Johnson on the sidelines. Johnson catches the rock, goes out of bounds. So they then get inside the 5-yard line with one play remaining. Texans inside the 5, one play remaining, situational. Deshaun had trusted Kenny Stills. Deshaun had trusted David Johnson. They get inside the 5. False start. Game over.
Who was it?
Nick Martin.
Well, the center, false start.
Yeah.
Game over.
And there were a lot of angry Texans. I think the discouraging thing is it happened. Kenny Stills was angry. The offensive line was angry. The receivers were angry. It was a bad look by the Texans who went down there. But Deshaun trusted Kenny Stills. They then went down inside the 5 again with A.J. McCarron. Same situation. False start.
Oh.
Again.
Oh.
Two false starts inside the 5-yard line for the Texans. And then there was a play that Lonnie Johnson made on a tip pass for Deshaun Watson that ended it, had a little goal line stand there. But Deshaun clearly trusted Kenny Stills. Now, Will Fuller wasn't on the field. Randall Cobb wasn't out there. So some other guys were getting work in.
Mm-hmm.
But the fall starts inside the 10. I think the red zone is something that we really need to keep an eye on, because that was where DeAndre Hopkins was extremely important.
And I'm not they saying didn't really even get start. Much of a chance. Yeah.
You got to keep an eye on that red zone offense, I think, without Nuke Hopkins. I think that's something to keep
Well, that's
an eye
something
on.
That we kind of put a star by even before camp started. Who's going to be the guy on third and got to have it? You know, the got to have it plays, and then in the red zone, you can't hurt yourself even more by not even being able to get a playoff.
Final observation. Brian Cushing wants to fight everyone out there.
What, still?
My boy plays for him, you know, Cush.
His testosterone and his level of meatheadedness has not fallen off one bit a
good
couple
for,
years
good
away from
you,
the line.
Good for you, Brian.
Brian Cushing was running the ball in linebacker drills at running back, and he was basically wanting to, like, shoulder up with everybody there. And after every play, even if it was just like a rushing linebacker drill, he had to, like, hit someone on the helmet, or he had to shoulder bump Bernardrick McKinney or something like that. Brian Cushing is as intense as he's ever been. And Brian Cushing, I think he would still headbutt someone without a helmet. Brian Cushing is just as nuts not practicing and coaching as he was when we used to remember covering him and watching him in practice.
He's one of a kind, man. I mean, that's what he is. And he's still big, too.
Oh, yeah. He's bigger than he was.
Yeah, he's a big dude still.
Massive.
He used to talk trash to everybody.
Was he not out there wanting to fight, Figgy?
Oh, he was wanting to fight.
Yeah. I mean, he would run the ball, and it's like a boom, and then the linebacker would let up, and it's just like a little
extra little shove, yeah.
And then they'd break, and he'd have to make sure he had to slap the shoulder.
Like, oh, just kidding, man, just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
But had he come back at him?
What's up?
But had he come back at him?
What's up?
He'd have been throwing hands.
Yes. Those are the practice observations.
That'd be a first, a coach and a player fight?
From practice yesterday. Yeah, and I don't know how many people won it with Cush.
Yeah, that's true, too.
To be honest with you. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, Texans on the practice field. We'll go out there at 11:20. We'll hear from Kenny Stills as well as Jacob Martin. But let's look at the state of the AFC South. Things have kind of come full circle the last 365 days. Let's look at where the Texans currently sit in the AFC South a year after the retirement of Andrew Luck. Next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.